In the name of him who is the Lord of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior, Jesus, your fellow redeemer. When I was at the seminary, one of my professors, John Jeske, some of you may know him from his service at St. John's on 68th and Forest Home, asked one of my classmates to read out loud Genesis 2, verse 23. God has just created Eve, brought her to Adam, and presented her to him as his wife. And what verse 23 is Adam's response. My classmate cleared his voice and began to speak in a monotone voice. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Professor Jeske came flying down off of the little stand that the desk was on, and he said, "Stop! Stop! Do you really think that's how Adam spoke? My goodness, he's never seen a woman. And here's one right before him. She's gorgeous. She's naked. And she's your wife." He said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." I've never forgotten that. Do you believe that if we men showed that same kind of honest, godly, sincere joy and appreciation for those of the opposite sex, we wouldn't have the same gender issues that we have today. As we continue our culture shift series, we've reached the third week. To date, we've noted that when children become people and when women become precious. Today, we consider when men become sacrificial, and we use as the basis for everything we say and do here today Paul's inspired words in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. It's in the Pew Bible on page 1176. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25, Pew Bible page 1176. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Let's pray. Your presence, gracious Lord, afford. Prepare us to receive your word. Now let your voice engage our ear, and faith be mixed with what we hear. Amen. One of the clearest passages in all of Scripture when it comes to the roles of men and women as they relate to each other, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And I'd like you to read them along with me. I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Where do we typically focus when we come across that passage? It's man and woman, right? But before we can even begin to understand what God is saying about our relationship to each other, we have to understand what God is saying about his relationship with the three persons of the triune God. How in all the world can Christ, who is God, be subject to God? Now, we know that our God is triune, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And each one of these persons is equal, They're all-powerful and eternal and all-knowing and present everywhere. That's something that we confess every year, usually on Trinity Sunday, when we use that long creed, the Athanasian Creed, and we say, none is before or after, none is greater or inferior. Each person of the triune God is equal in status, in standing. But at the same time, each person of the triune God doesn't have the same role, the same calling, the same responsibility. God the Father didn't die for our sins on the cross, did he? Nor did God the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus the Son did that. That was his role, his purpose. It amazes me how many times when you're looking for it, you see in the Gospels something like Jesus speaking to his Father and saying, I have come to do your will, Father. It gives me great delight, great joy to do your will, Father. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prays to his Father and says, not my will, but yours be done. In willing submission to his Heavenly Father and out of amazing love for us, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, Paul introduces this teaching about Jesus when he writes in the previous verse, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Do you get it? Just as Jesus was willing to live in a role relationship with his Heavenly Father, so are we to live understanding that we live in a role relationship with one another. We men are to be the shepherd leaders, the spiritual heads. And the women whom we serve are to support us in our leadership. That's why the apostle introduces this whole subject of role relationships with this reminder, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And why he says in our text today, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Which begs the question, how do we men of God go about loving the women in our lives? Now, it doesn't take an expert to figure out that our culture is confused in this matter. In fact, I don't think most men, most guys, even have a clue about this. For those of us who are baby boomers, are we to love the women in our lives as Ward Cleaver loved his wife, June? Does that mean that we're always responsible for picking up the check? Does what my mother drilled into me still apply today? David, you always walk on the outside of the sidewalk with a woman. You always open a door for her. You always lead her down the steps and follow her up in case she falls, then you can catch her. And my wife will tell you this is true. David, always ask a girl the first time before you kiss her. Is that how we're supposed to show love to the women in our lives? Now lean in and listen to what Paul says. Love them as Jesus loved you. How did Jesus love? John writes in the 13th chapter of his gospel, having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus now showed them the full extent of his love. And do you recall what he did? He got down on his hands and knees and he washed his disciples' dirty, dusty feet. And then Paul leans back in and he says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sad to say, we like to think that we did something to deserve God's love, to earn his favor. Maybe it's the thought that we have piled up enough good things in our lives to kind of balance the bad things. Maybe it's that we look at others and say, well, we're certainly better than they are. Each of us has our own way of trying to figure out how to get on God's good side. But none of that works. In fact, it makes things worse. The harder we try, the farther we fall. Paul writes to the Galatians and says, you who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. In other words, the harder we try to please God by what we do, the farther from him we fall, because we're not relying on his grace. We're rejecting his grace. We're turning our backs on his love. God does not judge us on the basis of how well we measure up. God loves us because of Jesus, because of the sacrifice Jesus made for our sins, unconditionally, with no strings attached. And guys, that's how we are to go about loving the women in our lives. We love them unconditionally. We love them with no strength attached. We don't base our love for them on how well they measure up. We sacrifice for them as Jesus sacrificed everything for us. Think of it. He has redeemed us, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won us from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Why? All this he did that we should be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. God's will, what pleases God, is that we love the women in our lives as he has loved us in Jesus. Now, I don't counsel as much as I used to. Pastor Bonach is picking up the slack here at St. Paul's. But I do remember a common complaint I heard from women, and usually it was from wives. He won't lead. He refuses to lead. He just won't lead. Men, that's sin. And for that sin, we need to repent. God says we are to lead. That's our role. That's our responsibility. Men of God, lead. When godly leadership is absent, everyone suffers. Leadership that is godly isn't about power. It's not about control. It's not about using or abusing others for our purpose. Godly leadership is all about being first in service and first in sacrifice. God doesn't call us to be controllers, doesn't call us to be kings, doesn't call us to be bosses, doesn't call us to be dictators. He calls us to lead. And we have examples of that with Boaz in our first lesson and Joseph in our gospel. In short, God calls us to lead by making us the spiritual heads. Now, right before our text, Paul says, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Heads who are like Christ accept responsibility. Heads who are like Christ understand that they are to take care of the members of the body. Heads like Christ are wired to the nerve endings that send pain messages from all over the body so that when the body hurts, guess what? The head hurts too. moms, wives, women, you know the truth of this. Life is better in the home and elsewhere when men lead like Jesus. It's awesome when men lead in love and in humility, with service and with sacrifice. God grant us men who lead like that. We heard last week that throughout history, women have been treated by men and by society as less than human. Athenian women were of inferior status, often guarded by dogs, and in comedy were caricatured as fickle, contentious, and uncultured. In the days that Jesus walked the earth, there actually was a prayer that Jewish men prayed, in which they thanked God and said, "Thank you for not making me an unbeliever, a barbarian, a slave, or a woman." My friends, it's into a culture like this that God's word speaks powerfully. Without what the Bible says, we'd never have a proper understanding of the equal status, the equal standing that all of us, men, women, children, adults, male, female, rich, poor, have before God. And the specific roles or responsibility that God gives us as we relate to one another. Because we live in a sinful world, and because each of us has a sinful nature, we're never going to reach the point where we can apply all the things which God says in his word to every situation perfectly. But I'm going to say this to you today. If we men can learn to be sensitive to the needs and the wants of the women in our lives, if we are willing to serve them and be sacrificial for them as Jesus was for us, many, many of the issues that exist between us will go away. I've already quoted this verse from Ephesians chapter 5 earlier in the sermon, but I want you to read it with me. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's a mutual submission that we men and women owe each other. It's a willingness to bear one another's burdens, not putting ourselves or our own needs or wants before others, not having a domineering attitude, not making all kinds of rules and regulations and laws as we interact with one another. Men, if you are married, what a wonderful opportunity you have to show this kind of love to your wife. Love your wife and lead her after Jesus' example. If you are not married, then let your dates, your prospective spouses, your fiancés, in short, the women in your life, know what you have to offer them in Jesus. It's his gospel that's already caused a culture shift. We're evidence of that. Let's keep it going for the sake of the kingdom. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.